So, good morning, Shabbat Shalom. Join me in just giving thanks and blessing the Lord this morning. Father, we give you so much thanks. I give you thanks for this opportunity that you've blessed me with to come and to speak and teach your word. I pray that the words that you would have your people hear today would be the words that they will hear today. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right, so today's Haftorah. I can barely see that. Can we turn those lights down? I guess that's the problem. But today's Haftorah is Jeremiah chapter 34, verses 8 through 22. It accompanies the Torah portion from Exodus chapter 21 through 24. And the Torah portion is Mishpatim. And that word means judgments. I've also heard it means rulings, as well as deliverances. And I really like that word, deliverances, because when we hold fast to these judgments, these commandments that God puts out before us, they are our deliverances. They do deliver us. And it's just a great and fitting definition for the Torah portion and the Haftorah portion. So a little bit about the Torah portion before we get into the Haftorah. Exodus 20, chapter 21, verse 1 starts out, "Now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh year he shall go free without payment." And it goes on to talk about the forgiving of debts and not to sow the land and stuff like that. But this commandment in the Hebrew culture is known as the Shemitah. And oddly enough, we're in a Shemitah this year, which is very cool. So, in the Shemitah, it's a cycle of 7 years. The seventh year is a sabbatical year. It's the remission or release of debts. You don't sow the land and reap the land. You let it lie fallow. And it's meant to feed the poor of the land, the beasts of the field. So, it's a great blessing from God for everybody, really. You know, I did a little bit of looking into this Shemitah and how it goes in the actual land of Israel. And by majority, they don't sow and reap the land. But when it comes to releasing debts, they've created a halakhic law that circumvents that. And we'll kind of see that in the Torah portion. But I would ask the question, us here today, would we release debts, or would we, because we are in the Shemitah, would we release debts, or are we going to say, well, that's for the physical land of Israel, this and that? There's a lot of questions that we need to ask. You could say that it's for the nation, but if it's for the nation, it's got to start with somebody. So that's just a question I had as I was studying for this is, gosh, I could think of so many reasons how I could circumvent that piece of that commandment. And as we can see in the land, they do. But one thing I can tell you about the Shemitah that is personal testimony, and I'll give that. So my wife and I, well, my wife has some sheep. Nate's got a funny story on that if you want to talk to him about that at Oneg. But we have some sheep. And so my father owns a hay field, and I basically work the hay field for him. He gives us the first cutting of hay every year to feed our sheep. So as we were coming up to the Shemitah, her and I really got together and got with God and asked, well, how do we honor the Shemitah in this? Because we're certainly not in the land. The field is really not mine. But we felt there was something there for us. So we got to God with it, and we just decided that we're going to honor the Shemitah this year. We're not going to take any of the hay from the field. And that really put us in a financial situation, because if you look at the price of hay, it's expensive right now. And so it would cost probably more money than we really have right now to feed these sheep this coming year. But we took that to God, and we asked him how we could do this, given the situation that he's put us in. And we just said, okay, we're going to honor the Shemitah. And, God, it's going to make me cry. He showed up in such a powerful way for us. We usually get probably 60 bales out of this first cutting of hay. Man, we got over 140 bales of hay. He showed up. And besides that, the sheep were able to stay on the field for like literally a month and a half, 2 months longer than they usually do. At the end of Sukkot last year, we had a torrential rain that flooded our field. And it looked bad, but it blessed us so much that we had new growth of grass that our sheep fed on. And he showed up in such a big way. We honored him with the Shemitah. He provided all the hay that we'll need. Just a blessing. And his word said he is faithful, and he is absolutely faithful. So that's just a testimony I wanted to share with you guys, that we can honor it in this land. You know, this is where he put us. He's put us in each of our situations, and he does show up. So, what's that? Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing I also like about the Shemitah is it's a picture of the seventh-day Sabbath. You know, for 6 years we are to work the land, for 6 days of the week. But on the seventh day, we are to rest in the Lord. You know, it's a release from our stresses and everything else that comes along with that work week. So I love that picture, that it's a picture of the seventh-day Sabbath, the Lord's Sabbath. But from there, we'll go ahead and we'll move on into the Haftorah. Let's see. Might not be able to see this. I've got the PowerPoints for the Haftorah. We're going to go ahead and read through it. So we'll start out in verse 8. The word that came to Jeremiah from Adonai after King Zedekiah had made covenant with all the people that were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty to them, so that everyone should let his maidservant and his manservant and his maidservant, Hebrew man, Hebrew woman, go free, so that no one should make a slave of a Jew his brother. And we know that word Jew is man-made, and that we're all the same in Messiah. There's no difference there. So all the princes and all the people obeyed who had entered into covenant, that everyone would free his manservant and his maidservant and not make them slaves anymore. They obeyed and freed them. But afterward, they turned around and made the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free return and brought them back into subjection as servants and as handmaids. So the word of Adonai came to Jeremiah from Adonai, saying, "Thus says Adonai, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, saying, at the end of 7 years you are to set free every man his brother, that is a Hebrew, who has been sold to you and has served you 6 years. You are to let him go free. But your fathers did not obey me, nor incline their ear to me. Now you had repented and had done that which was right in my eyes by proclaiming liberty to everyone his neighbor. You even had made a covenant before me in the house where my name is called. But you turned around and profaned my name and made everyone his servant and his handmaid whom you had let go free at their will return. You brought them back into subjection to be your servants and your handmaids. Therefore, thus says Adonai, you have not obeyed me to proclaim liberty. Everyone to his brother, everyone to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim for you a liberty, declares Adonai, to the sword, to plague, to famine. So I will make you a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant which they have made before me, when they cut the calf in half, cut the calf in two and pass between the parts. The princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the officers, the Kohanim, the priests, and all the people of the land who pass between the parts of the calf. I will give them into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of them who seek their life, and their dead bodies will be for food to the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the field. King Zedekiah of Judah and his princes I will give into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of them who seek their life, into the hand of the king of Babylon's army who were withdrawing from you. Indeed, I command, declares Adonai, and cause them to return to this city. They will fight against it, capture it, burn it down with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah a wasteland with no one living. That's pretty heavy. When we take upon ourselves to walk in covenant with Yahweh, it's a heavy deal. And it's not to be taken lightly. So, actually, I have I'll pose a question that was brought up at our Torah study. Why was Zedekiah making a covenant with the people when Yahweh had already made the covenant? All I can come up with is he really just needed to teach the people to walk in the covenant and lead them in the covenant. But that was a good question that was brought up. Thought it was worth mentioning. So as I was studying for this portion and to do this talk, man, I wrestled a lot with what I was going to say. But Yahweh, He is faithful and He brings a word. So what really struck me was the few words at the end of verse 8 to proclaim release to them. When we look back to the portion, we see that Moses and the elders went up, they had a meal, they saw God. Well, Moses was called up further, and it says that he was there 6 days, and on the seventh day, Yahweh called him into the center of the cloud. And we know from there, 40 days, 40 nights, he was given the Torah. He was given what would proclaim release to the people. And so that really stuck out to me. And it just makes me think that what proclaiming release to the people is really teaching the Torah. Because it releases us as we walk in Torah, in these judgments, in these deliverances. It releases us from this dysfunction that we all have in our life, little by little. And it's also very heavy for those who teach the Torah. Because it's straight and narrow. And we can often get off to this side or to this side and not teach it in a right way. We can see that these guys who really, Zedekiah and his officials, the priests, started out on a great foot. Maybe not by making the covenant with the people, but they were doing what was right in the Lord's eyes by trying to get these people to walk in the commands. But then again, the double-mindedness that we all have set in. Oh my gosh, we're releasing our slaves. How's that going to benefit us? You know, they probably do stuff that make us money. It's going to affect our pocketbooks. And so their double-mindedness brought them back. But it's the Torah that we need to teach that proclaims release. When we start out on a good foot and we start teaching the Torah, and then for one reason or another, we start to circumvent the Torah in our teachings. And to say this or that, to whatever reason it benefits us, or for whatever reason, it's not right. And that brings people back into captivity in our daily lives, as being a father. You know, if I start to walk out of Torah and do things that are out of Torah, out of what God has showed me, and my son sees that, and then when he starts to do it, and it's taught to my grandson, that brings us back into captivity, because then we step back into that dysfunction. And that's not the way we needed to go. In this case, we know that it was certainly death and destruction. The house of the Lord was burned down. All the holy things were taken to Babylon. And that can happen to us today, because if we believe that we are the temple of the Lord and we start to go back into captivity, the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he takes the holy things, he takes the commandments from us, and the house of the Lord is pillaged and plundered. And that's not good. For in Deuteronomy, it says, "For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word you will prolong the days in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess." James 1:25, Whoever looks intently into the perfect Torah that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Man, it's a weighty matter. Parents are pastors who come up here and teach week in and week out. And those of us who are blessed with the opportunities to come up here and speak from time to time, it is a weighty matter that we really need to consider that we are teaching the people, and we need to make sure that we are proclaiming release to them. And that's it. You know, one other thing, you know, that this brings to mind is when Jesus had healed the man by the pool, he found him later in the temple and he told him, quit sinning or something worse could happen to you. And we can literally see something worse happen to these people in this Haftorah. The Babylonians came back and did what God had them do. And so with that, I'll close this up. I just really ask Yahweh that we would be a people that would stick to His Torah, that we would walk in the commands, and that He would give us a heart not to turn away, not to bring people back into captivity, to teach our families, to teach those within the sphere of our influence the right ways of God. In Yeshua's name, amen.